Welcome to Whoops.
Whoops. Whoops of the week.
My whoops.
My whoops.
Hello and welcome to Whoops.
Welcome to Whoops.
Perfect. That was a perfect landing. We stuck it. We
hey guys,
went with
Holly,
it.
I just wanted to pop in and remind you that this episode was recorded a few weeks ago. So if it seems like we're not talking about a lot of things that are super relevant right now, it's a little bit older, but it's still super funny and we're very happy to have the guests that we had and I'm super excited about the episode. I want to thank you all for taking time last week to find podcasts by Black creators and hopefully for our white listeners, you did some time, you spent some time educating yourself and learning and reading, maybe attending protests. I hope that you are all safe and still staying healthy amongst this kind of weird time for coronavirus to still be active. And I also want to take a moment to just acknowledge the immense privilege that Mary J. and I both have that we are able to have this podcast that's sort of built around having made mistakes and learning from them and growing from them and you know, the kind of concept of the podcast is like everybody makes mistakes and we learn, we grow, we move on, we laugh about them, you know, we feel what we feel about them. And there are several mistakes that I know that I've made. I'm sure Mary J. Feels the same that, you know, had I not been a white girl, they may not have turned out so well for me and I may not be laughing about them. And there's definitely been situations where, you know, I maybe wouldn't have been as safe as I felt, or I wouldn't have been treated as nicely as I was, or gotten out of situations that I did because simply because I'm white. And so I do want to acknowledge that privilege and just say that it makes me incredibly sad that it is a privilege that I have that I can get out of situations a little bit easier, or you know, just different things that have happened that I'm sure would not have turned out the way that they did if I wasn't white. So I hope that we're all taking some time and doing some work towards making it to where people are treated equally and we have equal rights and people are not treated poorly or murdered because of the color of their skin. So sorry to kind of start us off on a heavier note, but just wanted to acknowledge that. But please get ready to laugh. It's very fun. It's very funny. We love Monterey. She's a wonderful guest. So thanks for listening and we'll be back with a new episode next week. Welcome to Whoops, a podcast about mistakes. I'm Holly Perkins.
I'm Mary J. Berger.
How's it going, Mary J.?
I've been sweating all day and you know, I told you about my hands being clammy. They're so clammy.
Yeah.
I think I just have clammy hands and I don't want to admit that.
Yeah. I don't know why you don't want to admit it because it's something that is very clear. You very obviously have clammy hands. You talk about it a lot.
I talk about it all the time. I don't know. I don't know. I keep like wiping them on the carpet in my pants and then it's like, I get more stressed. That they're
it continues. It builds.
So, just big fat stressed out girl right now. So that's what I'm doing. That's what's going on.
It's quarantine. So, you know, that's where we are.
This guy tried to tell me I was lazy today and I was like, I am lazy, but you don't get to say that for the next like month at least.
Yeah, you can go back to telling me I'm lazy when we have shit to do in the world. Right now is the time to be lazy.
Yeah, like, it's like, he was like, all you care about is like weed and booze. And I was like, and he was like, I was like, whatever. Like, I don't have to go to work right now. I work 2 days a week. Like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Save the world. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't hear. I cured Corona. Like, fuck you.
I know, it's like, it's also like, what do you want me to be doing? I did like a Zoom show the other day and they were like, what have you been up to in quarantine? And I was like, do you want me to lie to you? Do you want me to tell you? Like, it was difficult. I was like, I'm writing a lot. And I was like, am I writing a lot? Is it a lot? But yeah.
I'm writing zero amounts.
I don't know. We have a wonderful guest this week. We'll just hop right into our guest because I'm so excited to have her. She is a comedian. I met her when she did a show in Nashville because remember, people used to be able to travel and do comedy shows. What a world! But she's so wonderful. Please welcome Monterey Martinez.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
How's your quarantine going?
Good. I mean, I'm in the same boat too. I don't know. How's the weather in Nashville? Like, is it pretty nice when
it's
now or
it's
like
been nice?
Yeah, it's is nice it right now. It's getting hot. Good. It's been kind of rainy, but it's not terrible.
Okay. Yeah, because the one thing that we have, like, the luxury here is, like, it's just always nice outside. So you're like, well, at least I can go for a walk or at least I can go for a drive or something. So it's like, I'm from
Are you in L.A. right now?
Yeah, I'm in L.A.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, the first, like, week or two, I was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. Like, I could catch up on just, like, clean and just, like, stuff that, like, you never get to do. You're like, oh, I'll clean underneath my bed. I'll organize underneath the kitchen sinks. And then after that, I was like,
I'm out of...
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then... Now, I mean, I've literally, like, so many shows that I've just never watched. I was like, I'm going to try to watch Dexter. I'm going to try to watch The Newsroom. I'm going to try to watch freaking Game of Thrones. I already quit. I'm so sorry.
Oh, wow. How far did you get into Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Judging it from me.
The part where I couldn't do it anymore was a part when she was, like, giving birth to, like, a smoke black demon that was, like, coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm fine. I was like, I'm good.
You know, what's so funny about that is, like, I think I watched it when it was, like, coming out. So I think that everybody else was kind of in the same boat. So when you'd be like, oh, that shit was insane. It was kind of like everybody thought it was insane. And now I bet when you're watching it, you're like, what?
Like, yeah,
this is just weird.
It's weird because it's like I like fantasy that's like children fantasy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they're down with like Harry Potter, but I'm not down with like Lord of the Rings and I'm not down with Game of Thrones. Like, I either like ridiculous, like Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen are witches.
Yeah.
Double, boil in trouble.
Yeah. I'm either that kind of fantasy.
Yes.
You know, or I'm nothing. So I don't like. Because it feels, when you watch like Game of Thrones, it feels like it's like a historical piece, even though it's not.
Right.
But it's like more like real. But then they're like, oh, also dragons and demons are being birthed. And I'm like, yeah, no.
Yeah, you're like
witches and vampires.
Either be a fantasy world or don't. But
try
to pretend you're both.
Be a hot teenage vampire. Like, come on.
I love anything where people get powers. Like, I love it. I love anything where people have powers. But on Game of Thrones, it's like, do you have powers? Is that a power? Did he teach you how to... Did you get to the part where they can change faces?
No.
That shit's crazy. God. That's... Yeah. Like, but it's not even like a power. They act as if it's a skill that she's learned where they're like, now you know how to change face. It's just like, okay.
They know. Yeah.
I was glad. Like, after my ex and I broke up, I was like, I don't like that show. And you know what?
I can finally stop watching this.
I'm not watching it!
That's the worst, when you, like, try to be a cool girlfriend, and you're like, let me pretend to like whatever you like.
Yeah.
And it's always Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Somebody talked to me about that today.
Yeah. And I'm just like...
You recommended it to me.
And you're like, I'm trying. I'm really trying. But I'm just like... I get it, because we're like, oh my god, like, we're talking about makeup, or we're talking about freaking, you know, what's the thing we all love, Twilight. Like, I get why men don't like it, but they really think Dragon Ball Z is good, and I'm like, I get that it's good, but I'm like, I have zero interest why this guy's powering up, and gotta teach him a lesson and all that.
I'm not faulting you for it, but... It's not my thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I would prefer you do it when I'm not home.
Yeah. I don't even want to fucking see it. Like,
this can be a you thing.
Around.
Right. He would always try to incorporate. He's like, no, but he's like, I'm being serious. Like, this is like, they teach you real lessons. I'm like, I don't doubt that they don't teach real lessons, but I'm an adult now and I don't want my lessons to come from a cartoon.
Like, that's especially when they like cry out like that. That's one thing. Like,
right?
Can you imagine
seriously
being a person
they power up and they turn blonde? I'm like, all right, so we're teaching kids that you're going to be better if you're, I don't know. I'm sure those people are like, fuck you, it's good. But yeah.
Yeah, we don't care about isolating people on this podcast. If you want to say something's terrible, go right ahead.
We don't care.
No, we
don't. We're really.
I also can't imagine being like somebody being like, "Wow, you're really empathetic," and then being like, "Yeah, I learned it from Dragon Ball Z. I learned a lot of good life lessons." You're like, "Wait, what?"
And you're like, "I learned it."
You're 34.
Yeah, you're an adult. That's weird. There's a cartoon on the cake that you want, and. But yeah, I don't know. When you're little, I think those less they do give you those.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, do you ever hear Bill Burr talking about like why he doesn't like Star Wars? He's like, because I saw it as an adult. He's like, I'm sure if I saw it as a kid, he's like, I would have, you know, gone through.
That's so true.
Someone else had. Same thing for me. I never saw Star Wars until I was an adult.
Same.
This is like when we have Transformers and we have all these crazy movies with CGI. And then the very first time I saw Star Wars was like 2014. I'm sorry. But yeah, it was like 2014.
Oh, yeah.
And the and I was just like, this is like a production that like a high school in California made. I was like, I can't get into it now.
Yeah, this is like my friend's short film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen the original Star Wars. I've never seen them. I've seen the ones with Hayden Christensen.
Those are the ones I like.
Yeah, I saw like the new ones and I was like, okay, I can get down with this. Like, this is, these are good stories. But like the old ones, I'm like, I'm so sorry. It. I know it's a classic, but I'm like, I cannot watch this.
I can't.
Yeah. That's how I feel about, I didn't see the Goonies until I was an adult. I was like, this doesn't work for me.
You're like, this pirate shit, nobody fucking noticed it, really? Giant pirate shit, stuck in a cave in Boston, come on. But I watched it when I was a kid, and I have the movie, so, like, I do love it, but I get it. If you see it as an adult, you're like, really? There's an abandoned pirate ship, and nobody saw it, and it's just full of gold, and these kids finding it and make out with each other, and now their life's changed.
Danny's like whacking. They keep making that friend like show off his stomach. It's disrespectful. I was like, stop that.
You're body shaming.
You're body shaming.
I can't imagine like kids watching those kind of movies now, where in the 80s it was like, parents weren't like, people were like latchkey kids, like parents weren't around. You could just go away for 8 hours and nobody would care. And now if I watch the Goonies, I'd be like, where's their mom? Like, how are they just gone? They're just gone. But it's like, who's taking, nobody cared. They just were like, go ahead, you'll be safe, you'll be fine. And I bet kids watching that now would just be like, where are the parents? Like, what's happening? But
yeah, I mean, there was just two murderers trying to find them the whole entire time.
Right.
Like, that's concerning if there's two murderers coming after our children.
just let them go.
Yeah, I feel like the same. I'm like, I was breaking into abandoned buildings when I was
a kid.
I was bridge jumping. I was just like, I was never home. I was just like, I'm out. Bye. My mom was just like, whatever.
Where did you grow up?
I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, I think my sound is cutting off. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, I follow the Buffalo Zoo.
You what?
Yes.
I follow the Buffalo Zoo on Instagram.
Oh, is it a good zoo in Buffalo?
No, it's not that great of a zoo, I follow this website called Zooborns, which is all the babies that are born in the zoo all over the world. So then I found all the, I was like, oh shit, not only is there Zooborns, these zoos have their own social media. And so I got theirs, and then I was like, shit, I can just follow zoos. Like, it's unreal. Like, Instagram. I was like, fuck, I'm gonna follow the Buffalo Zoo because they whatever, they got a bear.
They need it.
They need your support.
They've got it. They've got it.
Yeah. The Buffalo doesn't have, well, chicken wings, you know what I mean? Let's show some respect. Buffalo wings, that's us, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to brag, but yeah, we have that in Niagara Falls. That's like, those are things that we can actually
do. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was there.
Yeah, Niagara
Falls. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then like everything else, it's like we have the Bills who lost four Super Bowls in a row. So there's that. And Terrell Owens played there, and then he was like, I need to go home immediately. And we were like, you know what? We're going to ask you out of your contract because we understand.
It's like, I can't live here.
And then we have, at one point, we were like the fourth poorest city in the United States, but now we're like, nice. They're doing something. The healthcare, it's so cheap, honestly. Like, my sister, she has like a it's like a small house, but it's like a 4-bedroom house. It's older, but it's like $80,000.
Oh my God.
She bought it for $8,000. It's like, it's just so cheap there. Like, so it's a great place to like raise kids, but then you have to get the fuck out. You have to.
Yeah, that's my, I feel like everybody kind of has that feeling about their hometown if they're from like a smaller city. Like,
right.
My sister still lives in my hometown in Mississippi, and it's like, they're like custom building a big ass house, and like, she's living like very much like the suburban lifestyle, but I'm like, that's not where I want to be, but good for you.
Yeah. Good for you. I always recommend, I'm like, dude, at least live somewhere else for, you owe it to yourself to live somewhere else for at least 2 years.
Yeah.
I suggest 5, but I'm like, if you want to stay home and you're like, I love being around all my family, I love being around my friends, I love being in the city where I grew up, that's fine, but you owe it to yourself to live somewhere else for 2, because that's how you grow. Like, that's how you really see, when you have no friends, you have no family, you have no, you know, job, like, you have to start everything new. It's like, how the fuck do you think you're going to grow and evolve as a person if you've never left home?
Did you go straight from Buffalo to LA?
Yeah, I basically, for like a year and a half, I worked like 3 jobs saving up money. I like worked overnight.
Okay, so we had a little technical hiccup, but you were saying that you, like, worked, like, 3 jobs to move?
Oh, yeah, so I was working, like, 3 different jobs, and then, so housekeeping at a motel, I worked as a waitress at a diner, and then I worked overnight at a gas station, and then I saved up money, kind of. So, like, one of my, like, it was a really bad, I was a very impulsive person when I was younger, like, to the point where, like, did you see what was Uncut Gems?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay. So, like, basically the movie, like, a giant theme in the movie is, like, the guy's a really bad decision maker, if you, like, put it in its, like, most simplest terms.
Yeah.
He makes really shitty decisions, and then he's constantly, like, trying to fix that last decision, and he's just always like just flying by the seat of his ass, just like I forgot to pay this person, so let me just go give him this watch, and then this. It's just, that's kind of how I lived when I was younger, because I was just very like just very impulsive, and I didn't have like a base. Like, both my family, like my parents, are both degenerates, and so like I was just like thought I knew what I was doing, and then I would always just kind of like, you know, I, like, when I moved to California, I decided, like, okay, I'm just gonna go today, and then just, like, quit all my jobs, like, packed my bags, my car broke down in the middle of the country, I just left my car on the side of the road in, like, West Virginia, hopped on a Greyhound with, like, 2 bat, like, I just, and then, yeah, like, I was just, you know, I was just, like, 19, I was like, whatever, I'll figure it out, and then, like, my license got suspended, it was just, and then, like, after that, I had a boyfriend, and then I moved to Orange County when I first moved to California, because I thought that was a suburb of LA, because I was stupid again.
And, is it
not?
No. I don't know.
So it's like a whole separate county, so it's like 45 miles, which doesn't sound like a lot, but with LA traffic, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And, but I had a boyfriend at the time, and he was like, oh, let me finish school, and then I'll move to LA with you. And I was like, okay, and then he finished school, and then he was like, I'm not moving with you. And I was like, okay, then I'm breaking up with you, and I'm leaving right now. Had no job, no money, no nothing in LA. Just, again, packed my stuff.
You're
like,
bold.
Wow.
Well, I love that.
People would say bold, but a lot of people would be like, you're stupid. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I kept making choices like that to the point where it's like, I've lived in my car for like 3 months. Like, I would literally like go to the library, like rent out, you could like rent a computer for an hour, and I would like apply to like jobs online, and then I would literally like get like free gym memberships for like a 3-week trial, and like that's where I would shower and like brush my teeth, and then I would like kind of like stay up all night, or I would like go out to bars and be like, oh, I'm up, and then like hang out with people till like 4 a.m. and then I would like wake up and go to the park in the morning and pretend to be reading and like lay out a blanket, but I'd really just like sleep, so this way like people didn't know like I was like, you know, living in my car. But yeah, and all that could have been solved a lot easier if I just, you know, would have planned, would have saved up money, would have not, so, you know, overreacted.
I have so many questions.
You're like, I'm concerned for you. Do you?
No, I love it.
No, honestly, no, I love it. I am very similar, but just in ways that's like, okay, imagine if you had the same kind of impulses, but then somebody was like, do you want a credit card? Because then that's like, me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so, when you were working and you were just like, fuck it, I'm going to go to LA, and you had like no connections there, like you were just like...
My best friend at the time, her uncle lived in Orange County. I had never met this guy. And she was like, we could like stay with him for a bit until we get on our feet. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I mean, not her uncle. It was, I always say her uncle because it's her dad, but like they don't like know each other.
Oh, okay.
So like, it was like a very like weird, like, really, like they, I think they like are, they know each other now, but like her dad was like a white collar criminal. And, and I want to say he was like in jail or something. And then he like all of a sudden got released. So like, we were like, okay, whatever. He lives there. We're going to go stay with him. And
did he have a nice house?
No, he lived in an apartment, and her and I, like shared a bed, and then her brother moved out there too. So then we were like, oh, let's all rent a house together. And like, we each rented like one of the rooms out. And then, her car got repossessed, and then she got gonorrhea, so she moved back to Buffalo.
And then, that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
You don't have to move. Yeah, you don't have to move, girl. You're fine. You made a mistake. It's okay.
It was right up.
She was just bad. So the father had a car. But he had a DUI, so he wasn't allowed to drive. She didn't have her license. I was the only one with a license. Then, because I left my car in Virginia, my license got suspended. So we're all these, like, degenerates. Like, at least, like, we're 19, so, like, we have an excuse of why our shit's not together. But he's, like, a grown-ass adult. He just has all these, like, credit card. He's just like one of those people who like lives off credit cards and like
pulls the stack out when you're paying for stuff. Yeah.
And you're like, you just knew stuff like wasn't like right. He moved too. So then I was really good. I worked 2 jobs like right when I got there, and I just saved up my money, and I eventually was able, like in 3-4 months, I like bought a car. But she was just stupid. So yeah, so my adventure out here was kind of chaotic, but then when I moved to LA after I broke up with the boyfriend, and I lived with this woman who was, like, very verbally abusive to her daughter, and she was, like, 16, and, like, the daughter used to, like, hide in my room all the time.
Oh, my God.
Because the mother was, like, terrible, and I was like, I gotta get out of here, but then, like, I was supposed to get transferred. When I moved to LA, I was just like, okay, whatever, I'll figure it out. And then I asked my restaurant job, I was like, oh, can you guys transfer me to the LA location? They're like, yeah, but it's going to take time. And so then I couldn't afford rent. So then when I did get finally transferred, it was like too late. But then I moved in the living room with this like one girl. And then it was like 4 girls in a 2-bedroom apartment. The one girl was an alcoholic and a stripper. It was just like, it was just bad decision after bad decision, and I didn't know how to be like, hey, I need to fix this problem. I need to stop, like, trying to solve something by, like, well, I'll just move with this person. Well, I'll just do this. Well, I'll just work here. And it was, like, just 4 years of just, like, chaos. Like, bad. I was like, God, if I just wasn't so stubborn and so impulsive, I probably wouldn't have gone through pure hell. But, you know, now that's so long ago. So I'm like, it's a funny story now. But at the time, I was just like, Jesus, just like living in my car, then with this girl who was like a stripper, who then kind of turned into a prostitute. And she'd bring these guys home and like definitely bang them. And her and I shared a one bedroom apartment. And like, it was just.
How did you find these people?
The stripper alcoholic girl, she was the roommate of the girl that I worked with at the restaurant. So I moved into their apartment.
Okay.
And it was a two bedroom and I rented out the living room, and then they had another girl stay in the living room. So it was four girls in a two bedroom apartment. And so like drama ensued.
Yeah.
Cause she was talking shit about her and I just told her the truth. I was like, oh shit. Yeah. She said the same thing about you. And then I'm like, what are you doing? Cause then I got kicked out. So yeah.
Wow.
You know, you live and you learn. You live and you learn.
You live and you learn. Yeah, that's wild. But, I mean, I feel like that's, I've heard, you know, obviously you're not the first person that I've heard say that they moved to LA and then had to live in their car. But.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's so expensive out here, but not only that, but it's like every other, because I've lived in New York City before too, but it's like, every other city, it's not overpopulated by people moving here trying to be actors, models, singers, dancers, directors, producers. So everybody needs the part-time jobs. Yeah. So getting a part-time job is like landing a role. So it's like, it's so competitive. Yeah. So you literally have like, you have thousands of girls applying for one waitress job. And yeah. It's like, to get a waitress job out here, you need like a resume and like headshots. And like, I didn't even have a computer. Like, I grew up really poor. So it's like, I didn't have a fucking computer. I didn't know how to make a resume. I didn't have professional photos. So I was like, what? I just thought I could just go in and be like, hey, are you guys hiring? They'd be like, where's your resume? I was like, for a waitress? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, ugh. And this is like going back like, you know, a long time ago. So to me, it was definitely really unheard of. But it's just so competitive to, because there's so many people out here. When I was in New York, I literally got three jobs in like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, yeah, start tomorrow. Because it's just, everybody there is like, you know, they have like real jobs. It's not like that millions of people coming to be actors, models, dancers, all that shit. Yeah. So it's just like, everybody, unless you have like, you have lots of money saved up, which is ideal, or unless you have parents that can help you, you most likely will live in a car at some point in LA.
Yeah. Did you move to LA to pursue comedy?
I knew I wanted to do like not necessarily stand up at the time, but I knew I wanted to do like sketch and improv, and I wanted to write. I just like wasn't exactly sure how to do it. Mm-hmm. So like the first 2 years was like definitely just like struggle. Like I wasn't doing anything. And then I started doing like sketch and like improv and like studying at like Groundlings and like UCB and Second City and all that. Which are, it's expensive too. So it's like, you gotta have, it's just like,
you gotta have the money, honey.
Yeah, you gotta have the money. But thank God out here, like, the weather's so nice. So, like, living in your car is, like, not that big of a deal. It's like, it's like, you can make it work. You know what I mean? Like, but if you're, like, in New York City, it's like, you don't have a car. Or if you're in Nashville and it's in the winter, you're like, well, fuck me, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like there's probably so many people doing that that it's like, not like here, if you heard that somebody was living in their car, you'd be like, what, why? Like, what, you can get, you can rent a place, like, you know,
or like rent is so cheap.
But I imagine in LA, which I mean, now in Nashville, I guess the rent is rising every day, but but it would be like, you know, it's just not as common, I guess, but...
Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I never told anybody, like, at the time when I was living in my car, I never told anybody because I was so embarrassed. And, like, I have, like, a complex because I grew up poor, so I was like, I don't want anybody to know I'm poor.
Right.
But I remember me and the one girl, the stripper girl, like, we tagged up and were, like, homeless together at one point. So she had this old, giant SUV, so we would put all of our stuff in her SUV, and then we would use, like, my car to, like, drive around, and, like, she was like friends with all these like nightclub promoters. So we would like every night be like, you have to hit up these nightclub promoters so we have somewhere to go to, like, because they do like these promo dinners. So I was like, we need somewhere to go and eat and drink at night. So yeah, we have some, you know, and then
that's so smart.
Yeah, and then we would just, like, crash at, like, the after party's, like, house and then, like, pretend to wake up in the morning, like, okay, we gotta go home. But, like, really, we're like, all right, time to go to the gym and
back to the camera
and shower. Yeah. Back to the Civic girl in the library. Let's go. Like,
people are like, she's very studious. All she ever does is, like, go to the library.
Go to the library.
And then when she's done at the library, she goes to the gym. Like,
she goes to the park. She goes to the gym. Yeah. And I'm just like,
oh. Like, she's so active.
I'm tricking
she's,
you.
She's either at a party or at the gym. Like, she's
just. Right. She's just so young and she's got it together. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm struggling.
You're like, this. I have to go here.
Yeah. Or I use the internet. But yeah, it was, they were some adventures for sure.
Yeah. That's, so when do you feel like you kind of finally, like, settled into being like, okay, like, I'm more comfortable now?
I'd say, so it was, the first 2 years of California were a little chaotic, but then was okay because I had the stability of, like, I lived with my boyfriend. Then it was, like, 2 years of complete chaos.
Yeah.
Then it was, I got a really good job. I got a job cocktailing at the W Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I just made, like, good money to where I was like, okay, I could get my shit together and do all that. But then the bad decision-making came back. And this time it was, like, more in my personal life.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, well, fuck that. And then I just, like, quit that job because I had a fling with this guy that worked there, and instead of being like, you know, I'm just being adult about it, I'm like, fuck this, I quit,
yeah.
Fuck all you, and I'm like, dude, now that I couldn't find another good job that I made that decent of money at, that I liked,
yeah,
and I liked my core, so it was just like, I went through, like, spurts of, like, okay, I'm okay, and then it was like, bad, or I gotta put myself in my storage, stay with a girlfriend, but, like, now, the last few years, I've definitely just changed. In the last, like, 5 years, I've definitely just not been that impulsive of a person to where I'm like, Monterey, this has consequences, like, get your emotions together, like, don't lash out, like, and when
it's
because when you're right, you feel justified, because, like,
oh yeah,
the things where I've lashed out and be like, fuck this, is because somebody was screwing me over, and I'm like, so then I feel justified, and I'm like, well, that, then, you know, this is fine that I'm acting like this. And I'm like, no, because then you're hurting yourself in the end. So that was a lesson I had to learn.
Yeah, I think, too, that comes, like, sometimes when you have, when you grow up poor, or you have to go through kind of a lot of stuff to get on your feet, it makes you kind of be like, whatever, I can handle this. Like, I don't need this fucking job. I can be poor again. I've always been poor. Right. What the fuck? It doesn't matter, you know? And I've dealt with a lot of that where I'll be at a job and I'll be like, don't talk to me like that. I don't need this job. And it's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Exactly. Yeah, you do.
You do.
Yeah.
You need it. You really need it.
You do need this job, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You have bills. And if you like food, we're going to need you to keep working it.
I know. Yeah. Like, do you know how much you like to buy things?
Yeah, do you know that you like, I don't know, having a roof over your head, just like the simple things? Yeah, I've definitely quit a lot of jobs impulsively. Like, and it's always been a job where I've been disrespected at, or like, say I've had, you know, cocktailing jobs where someone's smacked my ass and I tell my boss, and they're like, okay, it's like, don't make a big deal about it. And I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker. Yeah. And I'm like, and then I quit and I walk out and it's like, that has happened to me. Or I used to work at this diner in Beverly Hills, and I fucking hate this guy to this day. But he was so abusive, like, so verbally abusive to all the waitresses there. Like, always one girl cried a day.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I always pride myself. I was like, okay, I'm not going to let him see me cry. Like, I would cry, but I'd, like, run to the bathroom or something. Because, and I'm, like, not a crier, but he just would
bring it out.
Yeah.
he would embarrass you in front of the entire restaurant. He's like, why the fuck can't you get this right? Like, why are you so stupid? He's like, this is why I should have fucking hired girls. He's like, you guys have stupid brain. Like,
oh my God. In front
of the whole entire restaurant. And you're just like, this is degrading.
Yeah.
And I remember one time, it was a Monday night football, and this guy, he grew up in Beverly Hills. He's like a ripped kid, so like he just has like a lot of regulars, so people all know him. So that's why he doesn't care if he makes a scene.
Yeah.
But there, it was a Monday night football, and they have, you know, beer kegs. And I've worked in bars my whole life. Usually, beer kegs, the fucking like extras are kept in a cooler, like. Right?
Yeah.
And so he changed out the keg, and he was like, hey, I just changed out that keg. And I was like, okay. And then, like, later on, somebody ordered a pitcher of beer, and I bring it to him. And they're like, oh, this is kind of warm. Do you mind if we get another beer? And I'm like, yeah. And so, and then the guy, Dave, I'll say his name's fucking, Dave was like, he's like, he's like, what did that guy want? And I was like, oh, the beer was warm. He's like, didn't I just fucking tell you I just changed that fucking keg?
Oh, my God. Like,
yeah, but the keg, do you not keep it in the 12 coolers that are in the back? He's like, no, I don't. He's like, I keep the fucking food in the coolers. He's like, I don't have enough space for the fucking beer. And just starts screaming bloody murder at me in front of the whole entire restaurant.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He's like, just do your fucking job. He's like, just go over there. Get the fuck away from me.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to look at your face. And I was just like, and everybody's staring at me, and I can feel, like, tears, like, welting up. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And, like, we used to keep our tips, like, in a tip jar. And I just grab all the tips, like, out of the jar. And I was like, fuck you. I was like, I'm leaving. I was like, you're a piece of shit. And that's why your daughter doesn't want to fucking live with you. And that's why your wife is suing you. And I just, and the whole entire
relationship was like, good.
And I just, like, walked down, ran to my car. And I was like, and I was like, I can't believe I just did that. And that was during the same time that I was homeless with that stripper girl. And I'm like, you definitely have no business quitting your job.
Oh, man.
But I was just like, I'm not going to be degraded by that guy.
No, you're not.
But I cannot wait till I have, like, I mean, I'm, like, fine now, but I mean, like, real, you know what I mean, like, actual money, and I'm just going to, like, go to that restaurant one day, and I'm just, like, going to order, like, so much shit, and then just start, like, throwing it on the goddamn ground, and be like,
oh my God,
take it out, you piece of shit. Like,
yes.
I have that fantasy so much.
I just keep ordering beers and being, like, colder. I need it colder.
Yeah,
I need
colder.
It
colder.
It's
warm.
68 degrees.
Yes, and just have a thermometer, like, not there yet.
Right.
Yeah, but fuck that guy.
Oh, man, yeah, fuck that guy. I worked a job once, I worked at a restaurant in New Orleans, and I trained for a week there.
Did you live in New Orleans?
Yeah, I lived there.
I want to go so bad.
Oh, man, I miss it so much. It's like the first place I'm going once we can travel again. I miss it
Heck
so
yeah.
much. But yeah, I loved it.
I want to go so bad.
Oh, man. Have you ever been before?
No.
Oh, it is my favorite city in the world. I love it so much.
Yes.
But I lived there for a little while, and I trained. I got a job at this restaurant that was like, it's like a classic New Orleans institution. And I was like, great, I'm going to make bank here. Like, it is a hot tourist destination. And
right.
It was super formal. Like, I had to wear a full suit to work. And
I hate those.
It really sucked, too, because they didn't, they were reservation only. So, like, if you got there and you didn't have reservations in your section, they'd be like, you can go home. And
you're like, no.
I'm like, I want to make money. And also, I rode the bus and wore a suit.
But what are you doing? Split up the sections then, so we each all get like two to something.
Well, the sections were set up by like seniority, because it was like the nicer tables got the waiters that had been there for a long time.
That's fucking bullshit. And I hate when restaurants do that.
But we had this one girl that worked there who was Eastern European, and she had like a thick accent and was very hot and had like just like a perfect body, beautiful, bright blonde hair.
Sounds like me.
Yeah. It does, honestly. But no, she was like, she had just this like model-esque view. Like, she was so sweet, wonderful. And the manager would give her so much shit all the time because of how beautiful she was and because she was foreign. And like, he'd be going over.
What do you mean, give her shit?
He'd be going over stuff at lineup, and he would be like, did you understand that can you repeat it back to me in English and stuff like that?
Oh my God. Or,
and then sometimes he would be like, it was maybe three blocks away from Bourbon Street where all the like strip clubs and dance clubs and stuff are. And so he would always be like, you fucked that up again. You're going to have to go back to stripping. And it was like, okay, like, and she, and I think she had been a stripper, but like, he would just like call her out and in front of everybody and be like, just, and also like talk about her body and talk about like, it was terrible.
That shit happens all the time. And that's what like people don't realize. Like when people, when women are like, hey, we're just trying to say like, you know, there are people like so many restaurant jobs that I've had, so many bartending jobs where it's like, yeah, like, because they're not these giant corporations. It's not Cheesecake Factory, you know what I mean? Where you're protected by this giant corporation. But it's like, most places are independently owned, or maybe they have three restaurants or something. But it's like, they just kind of talk to you however. And if you're someone who works a restaurant job or a bartending job, or you work at a, you know, fucking local art gallery or something, it's because you don't, you need a job. You know what I mean? If I... Yeah. If I could be above that, then I would. And these people know that, and they just, they can treat you like shit, change your schedule, be like, you need to come in tomorrow. And you're like, I only have one day off this week. And they're like, well, it's that or you don't have a job. Yeah. And you're like, it's that kind of treatment all the time. Yeah. And it's just like,
and gross. After I saw that, and I mean, I only worked there for literally 2 weeks. And then one day he just like, went off, like, he said something to her about, like, make sure you get that right or you'll get deported or something. And I was like, Jesus. I cannot work with this man. And he was best friends with the owner. And so it was like, we're not going to get anywhere if he come. Like, you can't do anything. And I was like, girl, why are you doing this? Why do you work here? And she was like, I make more money here than I could anywhere else. And I've been working here for so long that like I'm working my way up and I need the money. And she was like, you know, it's, she kind of just played it off like it's all in good fun. But I was like, this is going to psychologically affect you, whether you think it's funny or not. Like,
no.
And they,
and like, good for her that she could keep her, but like, there's no way. If somebody said that to me once, there's no way.
Yeah.
I'd be like, fuck you. Like,
Yeah. And I mean, I bet coming from like a background where you work in the sex industry that it's like, you're like, this isn't so bad the way he talks to me.
Right.
But man, it was terrible. Totally. And they called me once and were like, hey, it was my first week off of training. And they were like, hey, you don't have any tables tonight. So you don't have to come in tonight. And I was like, you know what? How about I never come back?
Yeah. Actually, how about
I'm just done.
How about I just don't come back? And I never went back. I had a paycheck, and I was like, I don't even want to go get it. Like, I don't want to work there. I don't want to work for those people.
You never even got your paycheck.
Never even went back and got it. I was like, it can't be more than, like, a couple hundred dollars as a waitress paycheck.
Right.
Like, I don't I don't want to see those people.
Right.
But.
That's the worst when you quit a job, and, like, this is before direct deposit, or if you just don't sign up, and then you have to, like, go back.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, get your paycheck, and you're like, that's happened to me so, because a lot of jobs I've just quit. Just like that. Just like, fuck this, I'm done. And then I'm like, God damn it, I need... And I, like, need my paycheck. Yeah. And then you have to be like, hey, can I get my paycheck? And they're like, oh, not fuck you, fuck you. And you're like, yeah, okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And then you get the paycheck and you're like, fuck you.
I got the money now.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you haven't deposited it, so slow down.
Yeah, so we'll cancel the check.
Yeah, I mean, restaurant work is difficult, and
I have
loved it. Like, I've met some of my best friends working at restaurants. I've met some of my favorite boyfriends working at restaurants, but...
Absolutely.
But it is
I love hard. The people, because it's like, you guys go through war together.
It like, is really, like...
Yeah.
Like, family.
It's seriously like family, and you just, like... And people who've never worked in restaurants, I'm like, okay... Either you're going to agree with everything I say, or you'll say nothing at all, because you don't know. And people are like, well, what's so hard about it? I'm like, because it's, you're one human being, and you're taking care of, say, you know what I mean, say you have a six table section or whatever, it depends if you work at a high volume bar or whatever, but it's like you're dealing with hundreds of people as one person,
right?
And think of just dealing with one person trying to take care of their needs with their drink, with their food, with their dessert, with the ambiance, with the sound, with the temperature. It's like people want to complain about everything, but then now hundreds of people,
yeah,
and you have to do it at the same exact time while other people in are taking care of the, so it's like the chefs aren't just making your one food, they have right. to make hundreds of people's food, and so it's like it's a lot of volume divided between a little bit of people and dealing with the worst of people, and so it's just like it's very stressful. Mm-hmm. And people, especially in LA, like, 'cause I've served tables in Buffalo and New York, and then I've served tables in LA where people are very entitled. Mm-hmm. People are very into like wanting to feel like they are somebody, like they are, they're it, they're famous, they're important, and so people, the way that they can demonstrate that is to belittle you and treat you like shit. I used to cry every single day on my way to work. I used to work at Boa Steakhouse. Shout out to those pieces of shit, not the owners. But if you dined at Boa, I probably fucking hate you. But
on record.
Yeah, they would just grab your, like, they were the kind of, like, they grab your hand, they're like, I want to not, and I'd be like,
that's unreal.
I'd be like, do not fucking touch me. And they're like, whoa, what? And I'm like, no, your hands don't need, I don't mind if people put their hand on my shoulder, or they're like, hi, ma'am, can I have, yeah. Or they, like, I'm even fine, like, I've had tons of, like, older ladies or older men, and they hold your hand, they're like, sweetie, can I have, yeah. I'm totally fine with that, yeah. I'm not yeah. ridiculous, but when I'm walking away, and I have a tray in my hand, and you grab me,
that's aggressive, so,
it happened literally 5 times a day, where they would grab, or they'd be like, hello, can you hear me, like, that shit, or
oh,
they'd be like,
my God.
Is your job hard, like, just the most, I've never been so degraded in my life. And because TMZ used to be posted outside of Boa, so it was like a huge celebrity hotspot. So you just got all these people who just so badly wanted to be like, oh, I dined in there. And so they all just have this attitude. And I was like, and that was another job where I was like, fuck this. I am out. I'm going to start throwing glasses at people's fucking heads. Like, I couldn't. But yeah, and that's, but when I served tables in Buffalo, I never had problems like that.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, yeah. You get, like, stressed out when you're, like, busy and you're short-staffed and the fucking line cook's doing cocaine and can't get any of the tickets right. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
normal restaurant stress.
Yeah, that's everywhere.
But when it's just people are just that big of pieces of shit on top of the normal stress, you're like, come on, dude. But yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't work in restaurants. I worked in retail.
Right, so you deal with this not,
I feel like that's like yin and yang, you know, like it's the same thing but flipped a little.
Yeah,
it's at least like, I will say at least like I'm not dealing with people who are like, unless they just came in, like it's not my thing to deal with people who are hungry, and that's like the worst to like,
or drinking, getting drunk and being inappropriate.
Yeah, that was the big thing in New Orleans, because I worked on Bourbon Street when I finally like did get a restaurant job that I loved. And it was great, and I loved it so much, but guys would, like, groups of bachelor parties and stuff would come in and be wasted and be like one time a guy just lit up a joint in the restaurant, and we were like, what the fuck? Like, you're in a restaurant.
Right,
and,
yeah.
Like, people, one time a guy asked me for a lap dance, and I was like, sir, I'm wearing Dickies work pants and a t-shirt with, like, a dancing crab on the back.
How are you confusing me with the entertainment?
Yeah, like where do you think you are?
You,
yeah.
He thinks you're just going to unzip it and, like...
Yeah, you're like...
Yeah. Well, and the thing, too, about working at restaurants that is, like, a little different from retail is that somebody else can fuck up your work. Like, if I put on the ticket, no cheese, and then it comes out with cheese, I'm like, I didn't do that. But I'm going to get blamed for it.
Doesn't see your ticket. Because I've been both a bartender and a waiter. And it's like, there's times as a bartender where I'm like, I don't see your ticket anywhere. It's because it blew off in the wind or some shit. And they're already slammed. And then I'm slammed. And I'm like, I'm trying to get their ticket. It's
it's like everybody working together.
Right. And then it's like, and the other thing too with like retail is like, at least people can like, get out of your face. Like, you know, once they like pay, they're like gone. But like,
yeah.
Sometimes a table, they can be there for 2 hours and you're just constantly like dealing with them. And you're like, oh my God, get out of my fucking life.
Oh yeah. God. I remember when I worked at a restaurant, we would have people sit from like lunch through dinner, just stay all day. I'd be like, why?
Yeah, you're like, I can't, you need to give me a really big tip then, since you're renting out my table.
Yeah, right. Like,
yeah.
You better pay your rent.
Yeah, restaurant worker, I'm like, we are the backbone of America.
Right now, okay? Especially, too, when it's like, how about you guys test it out and see if you get corona and then let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, do you have any other whoops or mistakes that you wanted to share with us?
I think the other one that I was like, let me talk about a lighthearted one. I moved around a lot, like growing up. I went to a lot of different schools. And one time when I was like in second grade, my mom was signing me up for a new school and I was in the principal's office and they had this fish tank there, but I didn't see anything in the fish tank. So like, I was like putting my hand in and then like the lady at the desk was like, don't do that. And I was like, why? And she's like, an invisible shark lives in there. And I was like, oh shit. And I was like, an invisible shark? I was like, that's crazy. I already have to deal with regular sharks, but now there's invisible ones. And she's like, don't worry. She's like, they're only in like exotic, like on exotic islands and stuff. And I was like, oh, she's like, so they're not in North America. And I was like, okay. And I just never questioned that. Obviously I just grew with it, you know, that never got brought up again. And then, I was in like eighth or ninth grade Spanish, and we got like assigned like these countries. So everybody got assigned a country, and then you had to do like a report, and they're all like Spanish based countries. And I got Peru, and so the teacher was like saying each person's assignment out loud, the whole class is paying attention. And she's like, oh, Monterey, you got Peru. She's like, it's a beautiful exotic island. And I was like, oh shit. And she was like, what? And I was like, well, obviously I'm going to hear about all the exotic, you know, invisible sharks. And then everybody was like, what? And I was like, invisible sharks, they live, like, in exotic islands like Peru or whatever, like South America. And then everybody was like, what? And then I was like, oh, my God, I just heard it. Invisible sharks are not real. What the fuck? And it's like,
that kind of shit, I will say, runs all over me when adults do that. Because it's like, just say, please don't touch the fish tank. It's bad for the fish.
Right.
Like, I know, like, that's,
I'm
like,
making an asshole of myself.
Oh my God.
It's like, I work with kids, and like, some like of my coworkers will like try and like give these long-winded reasons where I'm like, no, just don't do that. It's not safe. Like,
yeah, you don't have to write them a fairy tale to tell them not to do something.
Right.
I think people think they're kids, so they're like, oh, I gotta make it a thing for you. And I'm like, no, you just literally embarrassed me in front of my whole fucking eighth grade class.
Oh,
like, I get it, I was naive, but I'm like, yeah, I'm in second grade. Like, I remember, did you guys ever hear, like, Atlantis, like, the lost city under the water?
Yeah.
And so as a kid, same thing. I'm like, oh, it's like Atlantis, the city underwater. Yeah. I was like, I want to move there.
There's a shit ton of, like, see-through animals in the ocean.
Right.
So it's not unreasonable.
Translucent fish.
Right. I was like, well, invisible. I was like, you know, I've heard of invisible ink and stuff. So I was like, I don't fucking know. But another time, I remember everybody had to like, this was in like fifth grade, everybody had to stand up and say like what city they want to move to one day when they grow up. And I was like, I want to move to Atlantis, the city underwater. I think it's super cool. I want to own a mall, and I'm going to call it the Octopus Mall. Did it, because it's underwater.
That's a great idea.
And I was like, they were like, Monterey, it's a lost city. It's not a real city under the water. And I was like, so you're telling me I can't live underwater? And they're like, yes. And I was like, well,
we have deeper issues.
Yeah. I was like, well, I got to change some things around. I'll get back to you on Monday. But
I remember being very confused about Atlantis being a resort in the Bahamas and also a city underwater. And I remember the Mary-Kate and Ashley movie came out where they went to Atlantis. Yeah. And I was like, okay, wait. I thought it was like a situation where they it like had risen out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And like, I was not that young when Holiday and the Sun came out. I should have known that that wasn't the case.
Yeah, okay, shut up.
But I just remember being like, right, Atlantis from the ocean. So clearly this is like a relic of what was once, like the Roman Empire has like the Colosseum. I thought that Atlantis Resort was a part of Atlantis, the lost city.
And they just remodeled it.
Yeah, yeah. They just were like, let's open it up for tourism.
Yeah, I remember I wrote this, like, paper for my, like, my fourth grade class. We had to do these, like, Tennessee notebooks, and we had to, like, talk about, like, all, like, and I had to write a paper on, like, one of the, like, native animals, and so I picked the rainbow trout, and I remember the end of my paper, I was reading it, I actually found it, like, recently when I was at my parents' house. The end of my paper said, a rainbow trout can do almost anything a real fish can do.
Almost anything.
And I was like, fish can do. I was like, what? I wish I could have talked to myself to have been like, what do you think they what can do?
Yeah, what is their limitation? Like, almost anything, but they can't, they absolutely cannot swim. Like,
they can't swim.
How many things do real fish do?
Yeah, how many things are fish actually doing?
It's so funny. Like, there's so many stories like that, like, where you don't know what something means because you're, like, a kid, and then it doesn't come out till you're an adult. Yeah. Like, my friend, because you know, all you can eat, people will just write AYCE for all you can eat, like the abbreviation or the acronym.
Okay.
She was like, we gotta try this AYCE place. She's like, everybody's always talking about it. She's like, I see it everywhere. And I'm like, no, that stands for all you can eat. And she was like, this whole entire time, my whole life, anytime I saw AYCE, she's like, I thought that was like this like restaurant that I just have never been to. And I was like,
she was like, I never see them, but I hear like, about them.
I could have been eating all I wanted to eat this whole time.
Yeah. I was like, Laura, what? She's like, I just thought it was like this secret, like, underground restaurant. And like,
oh my God.
I was like, okay.
She's like, look, but you seem like you know where the cool places are. Do you know where your aces are?
Where is AYCE? Yeah. And I was like, oh, boy.
It's my thing.
It's not a thing. But so many people, like, I always ask that as a question. I'm like, what was something that you didn't know as a kid? And, like, you just always, like, I remember my ex-boyfriend, he was like, we were watching some weird shows, like, people who had, like, weird animals. And they had reindeer. And he was like, reindeers aren't real. And I was like, no, flying reindeers aren't real. And he was like, oh my God. Like, I thought reindeers were fictional the whole entire time. I'm like, no, flying reindeer. So it's like, people, it's just
that's
funny
what comes
that
from lying
kids.
To
reindeers
kids.
Are my favorite animal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know that's weird, but they are. Like,
have you seen one?
I saw one at Cheekwood in a cage.
At like a botanical garden?
I've never seen one.
What's her name? Keith Urban's wife said that
Nicole Kidman,
yeah.
She was like, oh, we're going to donate these reindeers for my daughters for like Christmas. It was some Christmas display at Cheekwood, which is like this botanical gardens. So I saw them and they were like eating. Me and my mom went and I watched them eat for a while.
I saw them.
They live, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I've seen them like in places before, like in like zoos and Central Park and stuff like that.
Right. I've seen just like regular deer, but I've never seen reindeer just like on like television or something.
Yeah.
But they I've are never real. Seen them in person.
Well,
I don't know
that I could brag. They live in Green. I think they live in Iceland.
Oh, so are they not in America at all? Or are they like in Alaska?
They're not like wild
think,
in America.
I
don't
like
think
elk and like, we have like stuff like that that's like similar. Right.
Reindeer adjacent.
Yeah, if you showed me like a reindeer, I could probably tell you like a reindeer and a deer, but like an elk, if you asked me to describe an elk, I'd be like,
I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm like, I'm assuming they're a deer, but they have different head things.
Yeah,
like,
that's basically,
I think
they're just
they
extra
have,
large.
Like, a family.
Yeah.
Bigger ears.
Yeah, like if they had a family reunion, I think, elk, reindeer, and probably deer.
And, like, white deer,
and a moose would come.
Yeah, and a moose. Oh, that's right. There's moose, too.
I've never seen a moose.
I never forget
about them. You can't ever stop thinking.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I think the thing that went on longest for me that was, like, the dumb thing I thought when I was a kid. When I was little, I saw, I think it might have been on Nick at Night or something. Like, some kind of news, some kind of news show I saw about Princess Diana, when she was still alive, working to end landmines. And there were all these videos, which I guess it couldn't have been on Nick at Night, because there were all these videos of, like, kids stepping on landmines and, like, blowing up. And it was like, you don't know where they are, and there's these landmines that, like, if you step on a landmine, it's essentially a bomb in the ground, right? So I was like, oh, shit. There are landmines everywhere. And I thought that, like, the water line in your front yard that has, like, a plastic cover on it was a landmine. And I would be, like, so afraid to step on it.
Downstairs as a kid with a bat, just, like, whacking it.
I just was like, nobody can. I would not let my neighbors go near it. And, like, if we were all playing outside, like, if my neighbors came over, I would stand in front of it and make sure nobody stepped on it. And, like, I was very, very worried about the landmine in my front yard. And it wasn't until, like, nobody ever really explained it to me, but at one point I was like, oh, this, like, couldn't be. Yeah, I was like, there's no way this is what that is. And I think I just, like, came to the conclusion, and then it was like, yeah, obviously, we don't all have bombs in our front yard. Like, everybody in your whole neighborhood has a bomb.
So good.
But that was, I thought that shit for so long. And I was like, I also thought, you know, because I've always been the same person. I thought that I was, like, very cool for knowing about landmines because nobody else did. And I'd be like, you guys didn't see the news? You don't follow Princess Diana?
I know we all want to play spin the bottle right now, but I'm here to tell you there's landmines.
Yeah.
All right. If you want to hear more, talk to me after.
Yeah. Okay? I'd be like, look, I know Princess Diana has passed away, and I'm carrying on her legacy of protecting children from landmines.
Yeah. Well, you guys are over here playing tag and whatever bullshit. I'm over here protecting you, making sure you don't step on landmines.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they're like, why don't you come play? I'm like, I wish I could. I wish I could.
I'm kind of hands full with, like, finding and deactivating landmines this weekend.
Yeah.
But, maybe next weekend.
For your protection, I've got to stand here.
Have you ever heard the John Mulaney bit where he's just like, yeah, you know, like, as a kid, I thought, you know, quicksand would be a much bigger problem.
Quicksand. I know.
Like, yeah.
I think we all did, honestly. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I remember that as a kid.
Every cartoon, somebody disappeared in quicksand. Absolutely. And you're like, fuck.
And yeah, I remember finding out that, like, you can die in quicksand, that it does exist in the world, and being like, wait, what? I thought it was, like, a joke thing.
I'm sorry.
Like, after I learned, okay, we don't have quicksand here, like, not every, I just thought it was similar to my landmine philosophy of, like, you could just walk on the beach and fall into quicksand.
Oh, I thought it was in mud. I was like, well, obviously that mud is covering quicksand and I'm step in it. And I'm like, no, it's just regular shitty mud, Monterey.
Just regular mud. Yeah. I was always very scared of that. But then I was like, you know what? Not my problem here. You know, we don't have no quicksand around my area, I don't think. So.
Yeah. My ship.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's so funny. Well, do you have anything else that you would like to share with us, or anything that you would like? Well, yeah.
I'm a well of stories, but basically my whole theme is made a lot of impulsive bad mistakes, but I have learned to be rational, be logical, and take a breath.
Be aggressive.
Yeah, be aggressive. And And now I, you know, the last, wait, this is 2020. So I say, yeah, from like the last 5 years, I've been very good. Cause like even before that, like I wasn't like homeless any of those other times, but I just would still be like impulsive, but not as bad. So, but like now I'm like, I'm a real adult.
Yeah.
I really think things through. I don't let my temper get the best of me. And when people disrespect me, I'm just like, you're disrespecting me. I don't need you to speak to me like that. That's inappropriate. I'm going to walk away now. Instead of being like, everybody, fuck off. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've learned. And I had to learn that lesson multiple times and the hard way. But it's really in my brain now.
Yeah.
So I am a good girl.
Yeah. A 5-year streak is pretty long.
Yeah. I'm chilling. I'm chilling now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Well, I would ask if you have anything to promote, but I imagine not a lot.
Yes, not a lot. I'm going to eventually, I keep being like, I'm going to start a podcast, but like, I'm like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, you should. You have great stories.
Yeah, I want to do a podcast like where the theme, I want to call it the Venom Remedy, basically where it's like you're taking poison and you're making medicine out of it. And like, I love hearing other people's like inspirational stories or like how like, this crazy bad thing, they transformed it into, you know, a good thing. And so, but I can't, it's hard to interview people now. So, but eventually that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
That's great. Well, follow her on social media. Where can people find you to check that out?
I'm on Instagram, at Monterey M, and it's MONAREYM.
Perfect. Great. Yeah, follow her. Check that out. Hopefully she'll get that podcast out. It'll be great.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. This was super
thank
fun.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Mary J., where can people find you if they want to give you a follow?
At Mary J. Berger on all platforms.
And I am at Holly Perk on Twitter and at Perk Alert on Instagram. You can follow the podcast at Whoops Pod on Twitter and at Whoops Podcast on Instagram. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining us, Monterey. We'll be back
next week. Thank you for having me.